The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So they were totally checking you out, and I was like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh my god, he's so hot.
Oh god, stop.
And it was like hilarious. I'm like, dude, stop.
No.
I'm telling you, these guys were totally checking you out. It was crazy, and they kept talking about how hot you were and stuff. So
hey guys,
what?
I know this is important, but we do have a review contest that we got to talk about.
Are we working right now?
Yeah, we do that sometimes.
I'll tell you about the rest later, Adam. It was crazy.
Are we firing the mics up yet?
Yeah, they're already fired up.
Well, Jesus Christ, dude. Are you going to tell us?
Fire it up.
How do you know that Sal and I weren't going to be talking about something totally like...
Well, that's why I interrupted you. I could see where that was going.
Oh, okay, that's a good point.
He is the producer. He is supposedly supposed to, you know...
Yeah, we've got places to go, people to see, and things to do, you know.
So what are we doing?
We're doing the review contest.
Remember the contest?
Oh, the one that I forgot about.
Did we picked winners.
We did pick some winners.
Are we announcing them?
I have no idea how you choose these, because I read them, and they were phenomenal.
Well, I mean, there's all of them are amazing.
Yeah, no. So if Doug...
Can I just say something here? Scientifically speaking, we have the best fans. They did studies, and they found that our fans are the best.
They are. Not only are they the best, but, you know, I have no idea how Doug narrowed it down just to three right here. So if he did not pick yours...
That's what he was doing with the dartboard in the back.
Yeah.
So good.
And unfortunately, that is a little bit of the methodology here.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's just too tough to choose.
So who won?
Well, everybody won because they put up a review.
Boom!
Everybody's a wiener.
This is when Doug tries to be funny, then you're like, now you know why he's behind the mic.
That's right.
He's not on the mic.
That's why we need a to-do.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, someone's like, oh, that was a joke. We were supposed to laugh.
I did my best, all right? No, we got four. We're supposed to have three winners, but we now have four because you know why?
Why?
Because we're generous people.
Behold the merciful and generous Doug Eggy.
We like to over-deliver. That's the reason.
I thought you were just saying before we hyped up the mic that you're just trying to get rid of that small shirt that we've had in this fucking studio for like 6 months.
The problem is we don't have any...
Doug's shirt.
We don't have any small people who listen to us, I guess. You know?
This is true.
Part two.
Well, I'm on a roll here.
Hey, those, you know what?
I feel like my self-esteem is just shot up.
No.
You know, all I can say is those comedy classes are definitely paying off for sure.
I'm not taking classes.
Let him read about.
Are you not doing your thing? Your competition?
No, I'm not taking classes. I am a pro.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so.
Fuck, my bad.
He's a professional pro.
I'm a professional that obviously is not having a lot of success here. All right, let's get down to the winners. The people are on the edge of their...
No, I think you should tell more jokes.
No, stop picking on Doug. All right,
you guys are ruthless. Yeah. All right, relentless.
Go, Doug.
All right, so we have four winners. I'm just going to read them off here. We've got man_baby.
Man baby.
The man baby.
You win.
Just because you have a great name, you should win.
Yeah, exactly. Hawks7625.
Hawks, you win.
Winner.
Another great name.
Timora626.
Timora, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Not such a great name, but probably a good review.
It was excellent. You read it too, you fucker.
And this is the Keza Donator.
Keza Donator.
That's a pretty cool name.
That's a very good name.
Yeah. So how are they going to get their shirts?
Well, they need to contact us on Instagram at Mind Pump.
Yep.
And let us know
who you are, your size,
and your shipping address.
And we'll send you your free t-shirts.
I want to hear Doug use the hip lingo, like, you know, you'll just DM us.
Yeah, DM us. I have no idea what that even means.
Direct message.
It's a sexual thing you just said about
yourself.
Direct
message is Instagram. They can Instagram. They privately can just talk to you like that.
Oh, okay.
You know what? You probably have a flood of cocks and vaginas in your DM and you don't even know it.
That's probably true.
Yeah,
check that out.
You should probably open your DM.
Yeah, I'll do that.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. with your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
This is Adam's episode.
Adam. This is Adam's episode.
He's gonna talk about boring physique shit.
Affleck. All that stuff with that we don't care. Affleck.
Physique stuff.
Physique.
Adam, that has nothing to do with what we're saying.
Wait a minute. Am I plugged in?
Do you remember that commercial?
Yeah, I do, but that has nothing to do. We're singing a song about you, bro.
It doesn't matter. That
you don't want to sing because your fucking voice cracks or whatever. Affleck. So now you just want to fuck up our music.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Like that kid that takes his ball home. I'm not playing. It's my ball. So anyway, go ahead and I want to hear about this super interesting thing.
Talk about like the groundbreaking news.
Well,
physique, this world action.
Super fascinating.
Me and most of our listeners are actually really excited about this.
But, sports.
So, all right, I'm sorry. We're being mean to him right now. All right. So explain.
This just came out, I believe Friday it was announced, and NPC, IFBB have announced a new division for the men's league. So currently right now you have two divisions. You have men's physique and you have bodybuilding. That's it. So those are your only two categories.
So now what, they're going in between?
Well, kind of, yes. So what has happened, and if you go on the NPC News Online, you can actually listen to Jay Mannin and Sandy, the head judge, talk all about this and why this came about. And one of the issues I always had is, you know, you look at one show, and this is popular like on the East Coast. Like what people say is like on the East Coast, that's where the big boys are at. And then over on the West Coast, this is where all, like the small guys are at. You know, mind you, everybody's shredded and looks awesome, but the judging over on the West Coast has always kind of, not always, a lot of the times lean towards a smaller, more petite type physique for men physique. Mm-hmm. Okay, smaller guys, itsy bitsy waist.
You just said petite.
I know.
I did say that, and I probably offended some guys that I won on the West Coast, and I didn't mean it for it to be offensive. It's just that that's just the judges look for smaller guys. And on the East Coast, you have guys like Sadiq, you have guys like Steve Cook, you have some more of the bigger, fuller physique guys that are taking first place shows out of the East Coast division. So I've always been like, well, maybe I should go and, you know, get on stage in the East Coast, because I'm like, well, you know, last thing I want to do is fucking plan this whole trip, go fly out to New York, you know, and do a show. And then all of a sudden that's the week that these judges some of them are from the West Coast, and they decide to, you know, pick a small guy. And I'm like, that'll just be awesome. And that pissed me off. So I'm like, whatever. So this has been kind of like the you know, the rumors and the stuff all talking back is like, you know, we need to have some more, you know.
We want more meat.
We need some standards. We need some like specifics on what it is they are looking for. So that's what they've done with this new division. And what they're trying to do is
it called?
It's called Classics.
Classics?
Men's Classics. And
it's only for old men?
No.
Oh.
The vision, and this is why I think it's kind of cool, is
Silver Division.
They want that Frank Zane, you know, Arnold type era of bodybuilding for this division. And they want to keep it from getting.
That should make you horny, Sal.
Well,
let's be honest.
That's why I wanted
it
to
depends.
Talk about
it. It depends.
What do you mean it depends? Why does it depend?
Because if, okay.
That's a stupid answer.
It's a great answer. It's the best answer
depends
you've ever heard.
Depends are what older people shit in.
Exactly.
You know that, right?
And it's all related.
Okay.
So let me tell you why it depends. Because an old, a classic bodybuilder wouldn't place anywhere in any contest nowadays because they're not shredded and diced to the bone. So do they want a classic physique in terms of they want someone that's bigger than a physique competitor but smaller than a bodybuilder? Or do they want a classic physique in the sense that they also don't want them ultra super shredded, they just want them muscular and lean? Like, what does that mean?
It means exactly what you're kind of explaining, is they want a classic looking physique. They do not want you to be as shredded and as lean as men. Men's physique is going to stay that crazy diced. In fact, they're going to start, so starting 2016, they're going to start placing, which they already, some judges kind of already do, is put guys like me out of the top five, because it's like, okay, you're already pushing the limits on the bigger side of the men's physique. And guys like Craig, right? Like bigger dudes that are like that. You know, look at Craig on our last show. Craig and I take like 12th and Craig was 16th or whatever, you know, like, you know, and you guys said it yourself, how great, you know, like Craig's physique is, like, and what he looked like. But he's much fuller and bigger than a lot of these guys. Almost borderline bodybuilding. But it, you know, in his own eyes, he's nowhere near the size he needs to be for bodybuilding. So it's kind of like in this limbo stage. So it's getting those physiques, good, strong cores. You know, you don't need to be super, super bone dry up on stage, but you're not and you're bigger, but you're not as big as like bodybuilding. So they put weight limits on
it. Are they going to be posing? Are you going to be posing? Are you going to be posing like a physique competitor, like a bodybuilder? Are you going to wear?
Great question.
Are you going to wear long shorts to cover your weak legs? Or are you going to cover? You know what I'm saying? Because that's another thing too.
Once again, back to like they're going
thongs this time.
They're going short. They're short, like boxer brief type shorts that are spandex.
Son of a bitch.
So they're doing short shorts that are like spandex. So you're going to show the legs off, very similar to the WBFF, if you're familiar with that.
I am.
Okay, so it's going to be kind of like that look. I've heard rumors of all black. Everyone will have the same look, all black. I don't know if you're going to be able to do your own thing. I'm not sure about that yet.
And then what about posing?
And then posing is actually your classic poses. So you'll have a front double bicep. You'll have a side chest, rear double bicep, and a most muscular pose of your choice.
And that's it.
And then that's it.
No, no rear lat spread, no front lat spread.
No, but you will have a 90-second routine.
Where you can do your own posing routine.
Yes. So you have your four. Those are going to be the four.
So you're going to get music.
Oh, yeah. So you get music and you get a routine.
Hit it, Justin.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Did
today.
You just start doing Maroon 5? For the-
I was trying to think in my like first show. Terms.
My first show. I'm coming out to Maroon 5 just for you, bro. My first show coming out to Maroon 5.
Well, actually, that was the Mambo.
That's what it was. The Mambo. I knew it was one of those.
Yeah.
I knew it was one of those songs.
Mambo number 5.
Stupid hand gestures you do. Exactly, like that. It's a hit. What's a one hit wonder? Right?
It was either going to be that or the Macarena. I was trying to think of that.
La
one.
Macaroni.
That one didn't come to me. So,
Macarena.
So these guys are going to be bigger, have posing, not as lean, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But everything else, oiled up, shaved.
I mean, it's basically.
See, the shredded part, this is where I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical with the shredded part because here's what I've seen that happens with new divisions. Is they start a certain way and then they start rewarding the leaner and leaner and leaner guy and then they all get fucking shredded as fuck. And so that's the part that I think will be the issue. The size part, because it's in between, you know, bodybuilding and physique, it's kind of like the transgender of contest prep, is that I think that won't be too much of a problem. I think the problem will be the leanness. I think that's where they're going to have the issue. You know what I'm saying?
Is there any transgender in that world? Like
that's
that
a great
you know
question.
About?
I wonder how that would work.
You know what? They're actually. What did I hear this story?
There is an MMA.
Yeah,
there's that one girl in MMA that was born a man.
Right.
You know, I want to say there was something, dude. You know what? I can't tell you that for sure without giving you any sort of article or something that I know I read it or heard. I don't know if I heard
it. So let me ask you this, Adam. Are you excited about this new division?
I'm actually very excited.
Do you want to compete in it?
I do. And what's great about it is that so
you can get all fucking crazy with your squats and deadlifts now, bro.
Yes,
no more like I'm scared, I'm getting too big. We can fucking go for it.
Well, I was kind of going for it. I was kind of going for it anyways. You just were. To come after you, but now it really gives me the green light to go ahead and put some weight on because I can actually at 6'3", I'm allowed to hit stage as heavy as 232.
Whoa,
yeah,
to hit the stage,
yes,
snap,
because you weigh less than that right now.
Yes.
So you'd put on some size,
yeah,
bro.
Exactly.
The bulking gain
now
continues.
I hit stage for Contra Costa as an amateur at 215.
Last contest, what were you?
My last one?
Yeah.
203.
So you're going to try to push the limit, I'm assuming, right? Because
you
want to be as big as you
exactly.
can be within
I'd like to be. So if I my goal, and I'm obviously setting realistic goals. It's not realistic for me to hit stage my first time on classics at 232 lean, just because I'm at about 225, 226 right now. Easily, I could be 230, 235, but I wouldn't be super lean, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, to get shredded and be that, more likely, I would probably be around 220, 215 to 220. I've hit stage already at 215, which was actually one of my favorite looks on my physique. So when I was an amateur, and I didn't even have the muscle maturity of what I have now in the years of extra of training towards men's physique. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine if I tried to bring a 215 look now, I think I'd be a lot happier with it. So, but the judges were just like, oh, way too big. You know, you look like a bodybuilder. And it was my second amateur show. I took sixth place. Excuse me. It was my third show. I took sixth place. And I was really bummed because, like I said, I liked the
Especially now that you can, like, just get your legs just blown. Yeah. You know, blow them out.
Well, yeah, and that's why I like to get my legs blown.
That's also why I'm really excited because I feel like a lot of some of the guys that dominate the men's physique right now, not a lot of them have legs.
Not at all. And some of them don't even train legs.
Yeah.
Some of them don't.
Yeah, you know, you're
or if they do, it's like half ass.
Yeah. Some of your top notch guys, like your Sadiqs, your Steve Cooks, your Jeremy Buendia, they train. They have some decent legs on them.
Well, here's the thing. This is now again. I don't follow that sport, but this is what I will say: having impressive muscular legs is one thing. Having impressive muscular legs that you're going to present on stage is another.
Oh yeah.
Another thing, because there's a lot of guys that I've seen, a lot of physique guys, who then will post a picture of their legs on Instagram and be like, "See, I work out my legs, and yeah, they look good." But if you were on stage competing with those legs, your ass would get. You'd look like a kite.
Yeah.
You know, so. There's a whole different game, you know. How, you know, like in bodybuilding, what wins bodybuilding shows?
Well, yeah,
back and legs.
Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of how I feel like the only thing that would keep me from hitting the classic stage is exactly that. Like I don't even having decent legs that I have, I don't think I have nowhere near the legs I need to have to present on stage. Like you know, that's your biggest muscle. It should be the most. It should stand out more than anything else. And when I hit,
that's how you'd separate yourself, I think, from other
well,
people.
Well, I think that your call out song should be "He got legs, he knows how to use them."
He does. He does
that. He's got legs.
I really think this is going to bode well for someone like a Craig. You know, I think Craig is.
Well, he's got crazy wheels.
He does. He's got crazy wheels, and you know that he's going to smoke a lot of dudes just from his wheels. He could be, he may not have the biggest arms or biggest shoulders or like that, but his legs are going to be so dominant. And I think that they will lean a lot towards that, like, you know, because his legs get feathered out and sized to him. I mean, he looks nasty like that.
Well, so here's the thing. So you're tall, okay, which sometimes makes it hard, especially for legs, right?
Yeah.
However, you don't necessarily have long legs. Do you know what I'm saying? You have a long torso, which is what you want. When you're on stage presenting.
You got a cute little butt.
Yeah. If you're you read right into it, Justin. I'm done. No. If you are one of those dudes that has really long legs and a short torso, it doesn't look that good on stage. The guys that look really good on stage typically have a long torso, shorter legs, more muscular, you know, in that sense. You're a tall guy, but you don't have crazy long legs. This is probably why you're a good swimmer, because you have a long torso. Like a canoe.
Yeah, I'm probably
canoe.
I do. I do have
first time I've heard a canoe reference in for that.
Yeah, right. So. I do have pretty long legs, but I also have a long torso. I mean,
but I'm saying in proportion.
Yeah, I'm pretty I'm not one. I don't think I'm drastically one more than the other that much. I think that I'm pretty evenly.
You have a long leg.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I do actually. Yes.
Shut the fuck up. So, I just underhand.
Yeah, that was softball. Pitch. Thank you, sir.
Grand slam.
Yeah. No. It's very exciting. I think it fits the mold. Let's put it this way. Regardless if I'm gonna do great in it or not, it definitely fits the mold of the physique I want to have. I would love to be 220, 225. And fucking diced on stage. I mean, that's the I feel good when I'm in my 220. Like where I'm at right now, this is I like the look that I'm at. Unfortunately, I'm not pool ready. Unfortunately, I don't look badass at the pool right now because I don't have these like blasted abs and super striated muscles. But what I do like the way I walk around in my clothes, all those XL and double XL shirts and clothes, I feel out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where when I get sucked up for those men physique shows, I come all the way down to 201 and 201 reminds me of being in high school again. Like, even though I wasn't even close to 201, but it reminds me of that feeling of just my clothes like hanging on me.
Hey, girls.
Yeah. Dude.
You want to go to Taco Bell?
And they're going to. What? That's a good random one right there. They are actually going to start, 2016, really pushing the men's physique guys back to being smaller. They really want that closer to an all natural look. And what's happened, just like what happened to bodybuilding.
It gets more and more extreme.
Yeah, it happened very fast. And men's physique's only been around for 5 years, And all of a sudden we went from, if anybody that knows the history of men's physique, Mark Anthony being your champion, who in my opinion, like, had decent abs and you could barely see his separation. And when he hit stage the very first time, which is what I think they intended the division to look like, to fast forward now to your Sadiqs and your Jeremys, that these dudes look fucking peeled 3 weeks going into their show. I mean, mm-hmm. 3 weeks going into their show, they look at like they're 2% body fat, maybe less than that.
Do you think the classic physique is going to be such a heavy emphasis on the little tiny, tiny, tiny waist?
They do say they're still going to lean towards that, but it's still in proportion to having full big muscle bellies.
Because for me, I actually did a post about this the other day. That really, really small waist look that's gotten so extreme in physique, and of course, physique doesn't represent the ideal in terms of fitness and performance. Everybody knows that. But for me, when I look at a contestant who's lean and they have a super tiny waist, they just don't look strong. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't, to me, yes, you're muscular, but you look like you could be folded in half. You don't look mm-hmm. strong. Whereas when you see someone who's got lots of strength, and it's not true for everybody. I guarantee you there's guys out there with tiny waists that are ridiculously strong. But, you know, people who are lean, but they've got the built midsection and obliques and the built core, they look like they can move weight. They look strong. And in the old days, in the classic days, you saw some of that with some of those bodies. Even the guys with small waists, they had the strong-looking core.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's
you know,
my two cents.
Yeah. I don't know. So much of that to me is genetic. I mean, I think it's silly that a lot of these men's physique guys really try and change that, you know, by the squeams.
Well, that's what I mean. Like they put the squeams on, they look, then you could tell they look weird.
Yeah. It doesn't fit your body right. It doesn't mm-hmm. look right, you know, when you do that. And just because it may create that more of a V taper and stuff, it takes away from the beauty of the physique, you know. It's like this, like if you know, building a physique is like painting a picture. Well, you know, yeah, you can go take a fucking computer nowadays and Photoshop the most perfect picture as far as proportion and coloring and stuff like that, but it still doesn't take it the realness and authenticity of someone who's used a paintbrush from freehand painting something. There's just so much more beauty to that. I feel like the same way goes for a physique, whether it be male or female, that when you starting to fuck with things and, you know, getting so either out of proportion just to fit in this extreme, you take away from that beauty, you know, mm-hmm. you take away from that realness. I think more people should look at their physique and recognize what type of body type they have and build around it. Like I said, since day one of heading into this men's physique thing, I have certain guys that I see in like the professional level or that have been around that have got great physiques that I look like, okay, they have a very similar body type to me, and I really like their symmetry, their proportion, and that's the body type that I feel like I'm always kind of focusing on building, is building that physique. I don't look at somebody like, you know, like our buddy Craig, and I try and build that physique. I can't. You know, I don't have that physique, and I'm not built with a very square, strong core like that and huge, wide back the way that. I have a wide back, but I also have a very naturally narrow waist, which creates this waspy looking waist, you would say. But you know, I also will out pool most fuckers too. Yeah. You know, so you know, I definitely have strength, core strength, and would never.
No, I wouldn't say your waist looks waspy. It's small, but it's not waspy. If you wore a squeam, it would get that waspy look. You can just tell when you look at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they don't have obliques. They've killed
that's
their
what
obliques.
I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
It's like they have, and that's how you can tell. See, I have a really strong oblique. If you look at my obliques, I have a deep line that comes in.
It's the obliques,
which I think make the physique look better, you know, by doing that. So I think they did a really good job of capping the weights for the height at the right. So at every 1 inch mark, it's 5 to 7 pounds it's going up.
What was the weight for, out of curiosity, off the top of your head for someone who's 6 foot?
Okay, 6'3" is 232. Then it went down to 225. And then it went down, so that would be 6'2". Then 6'1" was 225, 2'2", so minus 7, so 2, why my fuzzy math here, 218. And then 207, and then 201.
Mm.
So I think I did that right. I put it on the
page. That'd be pretty big, because when I get my leanest, when I get really like lean looking, I'm 180, something.
That's why I liked it, because I feel like it's close to the bigger, but we could still have a little bit of room to put some size on, mm-hmm. which I think arguably we could also.
I think Johnny Sebastian even did a post that he might consider.
Yeah, you know, what I was going to do was bring him back on the show with us and actually try. We're due for those guys anyways. So they're mm-hmm. such a hoot to hang out with anyways.
I love it when you say hoot. Yeah. It's like 1962.
You know what I mean?
I like doing that. I like doing some throwback words every once in a while.
Yeah. It's groovy.
What a gas.
That's peachy.
You pick up on my joshing you earlier, too. That's yeah. Sal likes to use big words. He's I just like to use school. Old words. Yeah, I just use old words. I recycle good ones. You know what I'm saying? He likes to bring out fucking ones that nobody knows what the fuck they are. You know what I'm saying? Unless you play Scrabble all the time. I use good ass old words. I like to.
Scrabble.
Great job. 17 point words, Sal. Next time, every time he says like a word like that, I'm going to say, I'm usually here we go like, 22 points.
Yeah, because you're going to stop challenging me since you've lost now like 10 times in a row.
You did. And you know what? Everybody on the forum came to your fucking rescue right away. It was like, actually, Sal, I'm a teacher. And
I'm an English major. I want to say something right now. Completely accurate.
Sal,
ding, ding, ding.
Sal, you're incredibly perfect and intelligent, and you used that word.
No, that's not what they said.
No, they did.
That's what they were thinking. That's not what they said. They said I used their correct. Shut up.
Actually, in my thesis, it really told the story, and I'm so glad Sal's there to school you guys.
So you're going to take some time then to put on more size?
Well, 2016.
Because I was in the gym the other day, and I was working out, and Adam showed up. We didn't plan it. He was just there. And he spent like 40 minutes at the squat rack, at least.
Yeah. I'm on a mission to catch you, bro. Yeah. I got some work to put in, dude.
I never said you wouldn't work hard. I just said it ain't gonna happen. But no, but he was at the squat rack for a while, and then I let him try my squat shoes.
Because
he's tall and he's kind of tight like me, right?
So it helps you,
dude. He was squatting like full on, like deeper than I go. I go parallel or maybe just below. I don't really ever go lower than that because I'm just tight and it hurts my hips and shit. He was doing full ass, but he was squatting for like 45 minutes.
Was he squatting with the bar lower on his back? I was trying to have him do that.
I've been
the thing is, he has so much forward bend anyway.
Yeah.
That lower on his back would make, and then his, and
that's
again,
what I'm saying.
And his ass is already so developed, he wants more quads. Well, when he puts the shoes on, he's more upright.
Yeah.
He sits into it more. That's what happens to me too. Oh, how did you feel the next day? Did you get sore differently?
Yeah, my quads for sure. You were right. You were dead on with that. Like, normally when I hit squats really, it was a heavier day, I think, that day. I think I was doing triples. That's what I was doing.
You went up to three plates and something?
Yeah, I was doing triples. Yeah, so I tell you what, man. First time ever doing that. And you know what?
They work.
Well, and you know what? In my head, I'm like, you know, I sometimes do my high top SBs and shoes that like have heels. And to see if that, like, you know, if that I squat in that instead of like my chucks. I deadlift in my chucks. I squat in like my SBs and shoes that have heel to them for that exact reason, but not like these squat shoes.
Yeah, it made a big difference.
Oh, it made just the support in them. You know, they were designed for that. It felt like it was just the right amount of like elevation in the heel. And then, like you said, I sit down and it was normally I feel like my first like couple sets is like literally me finding my form,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting warmed up, but then also just like getting that right, you know, what I don't even know what the word I'm looking for.
You're
getting
the groove.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just trying to find that right groove. And as soon as I put those on, I sat down, I was just like, oh, right into it.
Yep.
Like it just naturally. Yep. And back to
And we wore the same size shoe, even though he's taller than me. So you know what that means.
Wow.
You know, back to what
you guys could play soccer together. What?
Justin brought up the high bar, low bar thing. And, you know, I never really, to be honest with you, until we talked about that on a podcast way back, I never really paid attention to exactly where I put my bar placement. And I just put it where it was comfortable for me, you know, and I just never thought twice about it. And since him, I've been playing with a really low bar, really high bar in between. And I tend to lean towards right in the middle of that. And it makes actually a significant difference because when I go too low on the low bar, I feel like it pulls my shoulders way back. So it's really, it keeps me really stressed because how tight I am up top. So to roll that bar that far back on my back just doesn't feel as comfortable to hold it there. And then I feel like I start to get a little bit of stress in my low back. And then when I go all the way up on the high bar, if I'm all the way high, I feel like I have a tendency to, you know, as the weight starts to get really heavy, I'll start to push off my toes. I'll get back from sitting on my
heel. So when you say low bar, are you going, are you like right above your rear delts? Is that what low bar is for you?
No.
Lower than your rear delts?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck no. No, I never go lower than my, I go like, I'm when I do my squat, is my, the bar is literally right on, right above my rear delts.
Yeah. Well, so just
when I squeeze back, my delts even hold.
Justin and I were playing around with my squat the last time I was with him, and we were doing, you know, pause squats, and we were messing with the bar, getting lower. And, you know, I think I went from one extreme to the other and definitely felt the difference of it. And I think where I feel the most comfortable is
in the middle.
Yeah. Which I think a good point to bring this up and why I'm even talking about it is I think this is important. You know, I've been, as many years as we've all been squatting, you know, I still feel like I haven't perfected my form. I haven't perfected.
It's because it's you, because you're individual. You know, you have to find your own angle.
Yes, right.
Well, plus, that's really the point of it. You can't say like specifically, you know, hey, you have to have it at this position.
Which
and
is
on
crazy because
don't say that anymore.
Don't you feel like you used to teach that way? At least I did.
Yep.
You can suggest it as a reference, but like you really have to do that and feel your way through the squat so you make sure you know. Where you're at as far as your mechanics are concerned.
Well, here, look, with the squat, it's probably true with almost more than any other exercise. Some people just naturally can get into a squat very well.
Yeah.
And some people, squatting for me is never going to be natural. It's always going to be something I'll have to stretch and warm up and work into. And deadlift, I could grab a bar and pull it off the floor perfect. Squat, and then, and Justin, you can shit. You squat no problem.
Yeah, I can squat. And it's funny because I was that kid that was always squatting. You know, when I was a kid, I would get like, I would just, everybody would be standing up. I'd be squatting, you know, just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, see, I can't sit in a squat. No. My heels come off the floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I'm the same way too. Like, there's deadlifting feels so natural for me, and I literally could not warm up, just go right into it, start ripping weight off the floor, and go right into my form.
Mm-hmm.
Squatting, it's a whole fucking process.
Bro, I start with the bar, then the 135, then I do a couple sets with that, and then I stretch, and then I start, then I go 240, and then I stretch. It's like, but it's like my sixth set I start working out.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's me with deadlift.
So many people I know, though, and this is why, God, I feel like I want to just like drill this into everybody who's listening, like, because I was the same way, and I know so many clients, so many friends are like this. Squats are fucking hard. They're hard to be comfortable, and it's very easy to find a reason not to do them. Low back hurts. Oh, they bother my knees. Oh, this and that. And then you just fucking check them off as you're not going to do them. And I cannot stress how beneficial they are to just your overall physique, not just health too. I mean, when you talk about overall health and your central nervous system and your core strength and everything else that's going to do for you and calorie expenditure compared to anything else that you could possibly do inside the gym. I mean, it trumps everything.
Big time.
It literally, and Lane Norton says it best. Like if you're not squatting, what are you doing with your life? that's literally like his mentality. Like if you don't squat, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
Like it literally has to be in your routine. It has to be. And if you can't, and you think you can't do it because aches, pains, it's not, you need
work
to
towards it.
Exactly. Your goal. That is your goal. Then your goal above all other goals. So if you're somebody right now listening and you're like, oh, I don't squat, I don't do that, or, you know, this hurts or that hurts, or I got these issues.
Figure out how to be able to squat.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to, and if you need to hire somebody that can teach you how to correctively stretch and build your body to where you can do a proper squat, that is one of the single best. That will trump your 20-pound weight loss goal or your 15-pound muscle gain goal or the next marathon you think you want to run.
Easily the most visible results you'll ever get is when you go from not squatting to squatting.
Mm.
It's the results are so visible. And your lower body and your upper body, you'll get some upper body from it too.
Absolutely. I don't know
get
who.
Get yourself an ass like me.
I don't know.
So massive.
I don't know who brought the first the first time I ever heard the analogy of thinking of it like a tree. You know, and a tree will only grow so big if its roots only go so far. You know, like if you do not build that foundation, you do not build your roots, the bottom part, you can still grow the top. The tree will still grow even with small, short little roots, you know, but it's only going to go so high. It's only going to get so big. If it's going to continue to grow massive, it's got to be able to get.
Oh, side note.
You can do a lot with a little root is what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit. Side note, since I started the occlusion on my legs at the end of my squat workout, yeah. I'll do a sets real lightweight with my quads occluded. Do you know where I'm noticing the growth in my quads from that?
Mm.
The freaking teardrop. More than the rest of my quad, I see it more in the medial part of my quad.
Wonder why?
I don't know. I wonder if the blood pools there. I don't know, but I'm noticing it more there. Here's the other side effect that I've never mentioned that I guarantee you guys have seen with occlusion. It will increase vascularity. And the veins in my arms now seem to be more.
So the nurses will like you.
Yeah. They seem to be more dilated just regularly. So it's interesting. Just some interesting side effects.
So when you're occluding right now, you're occluding while you're doing squats?
So I'll do.
Fuck are you thinking?
So Mondays, but bro, you want legs like Sal? You got legs.
I don't know if I do, bro.
So Mondays I do front squats and good mornings, and then on Wednesdays I do back squats. At the end of each workout, so at the end of my front squat workout, let's say I work up to 240. Last time I was doing singles, I went up to 305. Then I'll back down to 95 pounds, so just a quarter on each side. I'll occlude my legs and I'll just rep out. Like 30 reps of front squats, and I'll do that for 3 sets. But by the second and third set, I'm only getting 10 to 15 reps because, all the pain and the blood and everything. When I do squats, same thing. After I'm done with my full squat workout, I'll occlude my legs. I'll put just a 45 on each side, which is 135, and I'll do squats. And my squats, I don't even come all the way up. I come up and stop just short of coming up and go back down. Just pump them out.
Yeah, that's the protocol anyways. You're not trying to, this isn't about full range of motion. And you're right. It's about pumping blood.
And you're right, and it fucking sucks, bro. It is so horrible.
I can't imagine.
And then I sit down and the pain doesn't go away. And I sit down in between sets to let the blood really get in there. And I want to kill myself. It's horrible. And you look like an idiot in the gym. I have both legs occluded. It creates this cup for your crotch to kind of hang down.
Yeah, yeah.
You look like a dork. I'm sure I look like a. But again,
but
whatever.
Your dick is throbbing.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.